The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 692. Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 1, the sign of Emmanuel. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of a forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son Sheer-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of those two smouldering stubs of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the sons of Remaliah, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves, and make the son of Tabul king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
In the stillness of the night, we wait with expectancy once more for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. And as we open our hearts to your word, O Lord, may we hear your voice and respond with joy. For we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. According to a recent report in The Independent, the name Sophia celebrates its ninth consecutive year holding the coveted number one spot for girls' names in the UK. It's followed closely by Olivia, Emma, Ava and Isabel. Other popular names that made it into the top 25 for girls include some more unusual options like Riley, Myla, Harper Adeline and Nora. For boys, Jackson, Liam and Noah once more take the top three spots. Traditional names do feature far more highly in the boys' list than they do in the girls', but there are some more unusual boys' names there too, such as Logan and Carter, Jaden and Mateo. It seems that popular culture has more of a bearing on how we choose our names these days than anything else, though family favourites do feature very highly as second or middle names. There's less consideration given to what a name means than to who else is using it. It was not always that way. In ancient times, a name was believed to say something about the person. So parents often gave their children names that described their hopes and expectations regarding their child. People were given names for a reason. And because of this, names might change during a person's lifetime. So, for example, when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, meaning father of many, instead of simply beloved father. And likewise, his wife's name was changed from Sarai, meaning my princess, to Sarah, mother of nations. Now, choosing a name for your baby can be one of the most challenging things a couple has to face during pregnancy. Ian and I both had a list of possible boys' names and girls' names for our first child. Perhaps not surprisingly, there was nothing in common between the two lists. And it wasn't until after she was born that we settled on a name together. Actually, when we had her in our arms. Mary and Joseph would have no such problem. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, he said that Mary's baby should be given the name Jesus, the name by which the child would be known in the community, though its true significance would one day be known to all the world. But if you remember from our reading from Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew, in telling us the full story, said that Jesus would also have another name, and quoted from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Tagging on a definition of the name, just in case we miss the point, Matthew says, which means God with us. It is always a joy and a wonder to look at the person of Jesus, but perhaps especially so on this night, as millions around the world wait expectantly once more to celebrate the coming of the Christ child. Yet in amongst the tinsel and the wrapping paper, the traditions and the excesses of the season, do we truly understand the significance of this event? Do we truly understand the reality behind the names given to this special baby? So this evening we are going to think about what's in a name, and most particularly why the name of this baby, whose birth we celebrate, should be the name above all names. So let's look at each of them in turn, beginning with Jesus. And we read in verse 20, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So the first name that Mary's baby was to be given reveals his purpose in coming into the world. If they had a most popular boy's name chart in Jesus' day, his name would be right up there in the top 10. It's a form of the Hebrew name Joshua, And much in the way that parents today name their children after popular heroes and figures in sport and television, music or film, parents then would often choose names after popular heroes from their old culture, people who epitomize all their hopes and aspirations for their own child. And Joshua was the man who, after the death of Moses, brought the Israelites out of their exile in the wilderness into the land that God had promised them. He was one of the greats of Israel's history, and his name means God saves. And the angel makes it clear that the name Jesus is given to this particular child because he will save his people from their sins. Whereas Joshua's leadership was the final installment in the rescue of God's people from slavery in Egypt, the child who was coming into the world would himself be God's ultimate rescue plan. He would rescue his people from slavery to sin. He would be the one to bring a fallen humanity out of their self-inflicted exile from God and restore them to the Father's side. He would be the one to bring them into God's kingdom now and forever. But why did it matter? Why do we need saving from sin? Well, nothing good comes from the power of sin in our lives. Sin creates separation. It separates us from God, from the one who made us. It separates us from other people, and it separates us from the person we are meant to be. We cannot see it, touch it, or taste it, but it permeates everything we do, and there is nothing that we could ever do that would permanently break the hold that it has on us. Jesus came to resolve the problem for us. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus would come into the world to save people from all that distanced them from God the Father. He came to do the Father's will, to do what otherwise could not be done. But not only did Jesus come to do the Father's will, even more amazingly, he would come as Emmanuel, God with us. And the second name that Mary's baby was to be given reveals his identity. Again, looking back at our passage from Matthew, we read in verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the infinite, the eternal, the ever-present, the unchangeable creator of the universe, the God who set time in motion and flung stars into space, this God laid aside his great glory and humbled himself to come to earth as a helpless and vulnerable newborn baby. He came to live a life of humiliation, rejection, suffering and pain, and finally to be cursed and condemned to the cruelest of all deaths, all so that fallen humanity could be brought back into a full and loving relationship with God the Father. The God that each of us will one day meet face to face is Emmanuel, God with us. The true heart of the event that we celebrate this night is not merely that a baby is born, but that God entered our world as one of us. Now, if you're wondering what all this has to do with the rest of the first reading that we heard this evening, the reading from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, let me tell you. In it we heard a promise. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Did you know that Jesus is the only other child in the Bible to receive this name? And to help us understand why Jesus is the fulfillment of this ancient promise, we need just a little bit of background. When these words were first spoken by the prophet Isaiah, they were a promise from God to King Ahaz, who was the ruler of Judah at that time. And they were intended to assure Ahaz of God's protection for the city of Jerusalem. It was under siege, and the enemies were even then battering at the gates. We heard their names, the kings of Aram and the kings of Israel. And in turn, they were afraid of an even fiercer nation, Assyria. And since Ahaz refused to stand with them against Assyria, they were trying to overthrow him and put one of their own allies on the throne. And when God told Ahaz to ask for a sign that he would protect Judah from their enemies, he was basically offering to give Ahaz unequivocal proof that he would rescue the city from the danger it was facing. God was making a promise, a pledge. But he was also asking Ahaz to demonstrate that he trusted him. And Ahaz refused. He may have given a good excuse, but basically he wanted to continue on the course that he had already chosen for himself. He was turning his back on God. Despite Ahaz's disobedience, God did not abandon his people. And he provided the sign anyway. Things would not go well for Ahaz. The child would be a sign of coming judgment rather than the hope of salvation that God was holding out to him. And in telling us the story of Joseph's dream, Matthew is making that connection between this ancient promise and Mary's baby. Only this time, salvation was guaranteed. And so he writes, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the Old Testament, God made himself known to his people through the prophets, through miracles and signs and wonders. And his spirit was ever present at the heart of the temple complex in Jerusalem. No human being, except once a year, could enter his presence and survive. Sin created a barrier between God and the people he had made for himself. As it says in another of the Old Testament prophets, God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. But the message that the angel brings to Joseph marks a change in our experience of God's presence. Jesus, the child that Mary bore, the babe that we celebrate this night, would be Emmanuel, God with us, God himself made flesh, come to live among us, come to be one of us, perfectly human, perfectly God, come to save his people. He came into the world to reveal and to redeem, to show us the true character of God, and to save us from ourselves. He came into the world to humble himself for our sake. Rather than coming first as God and King, Jesus freely took on the form of a human being. He lived among us, revealing God's love and mercy and justice, teaching us by his example. And ultimately, he died on the cross, a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And so we know that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above or every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in his most precious name, may I wish you all, just a touch early, a very happy Christmas.